Hello and welcome back. My name is Seth Juarez. We're here at Build 2016. I'm so excited to be with you, gentlemen. Why don't you introduce who you are and what you do, and we'll get to the topic of this half hour. Please submit your questions. We want to hear all of your questions. We want to make sure that we answer them, so the earlier you get them in, the better we can get them. All right, so we'll start right here, bud.
Thank you, Seth. My name is Nick Girard. I'm a program manager on the Windows Bridge for iOS team.
Thanks. I'm Dustin Howitt, an engineer on the Windows Bridge for iOS.
Okay. I'm Ryan Haining. I'm also a program manager on the Windows Bridge for iOS.
I am Federico, and I'm a co-founder of Algorithm.
He's the only one that didn't say Windows Bridge for iOS. So I have heard of this project.
You've heard of us.
But I don't know quite what it is. So maybe you can sort of elucidate what this topic is about, why it's important, and sort of why we've sort of gone this way.
Great. So if you're an iOS developer, and you've got an iOS app that you've built using Objective-C, you've built it using all of Apple's tools, all of Apple's frameworks, the iOS Bridge is an open source SDK that allows you to reuse not just all of that code, but all those skills that you already have on Windows to develop UWP apps. So you can import your Xcode project straight into Visual Studio, and it'll preserve all your storyboards and all of your layout and all of your code, and you can extend it further into Windows from there and build a UWP app using the code and skills you already have.
So in essence, it's you have your Objective-C thing, and you can make that a UWP app.
Right. And you can take it further and really embrace all of the Windows APIs and features like Live Tiles and Cortana, all from Objective-C using the language you already know.
So it feels a little magical. I mean, can you explain how this process sort of works?
Yeah, so there are basically three pieces to it.
Okay.
The first is we have an Objective-C compiler and runtime on Windows that provides language level support, and we support the ARM32 and x86 architectures right now. We have iOS APIs that we've implemented on Windows. So if you have an iOS app, you're making use of UIKit and Core Foundation and all these frameworks that Apple has baked into iOS. And we've implemented large parts of those on Windows so that that code will continue to work. And then the third piece is integration with Visual Studio and the UWP runtime so that you can make those calls into Live Tiles and Cortana and pop toast notifications, all from the comfort of Objective-C.
So that's interesting. So what you're telling me is you already have this investment in something. Mm-hmm. You built some iPad app, for example.
Right.
You can literally just open it up in Visual Studio?
Yeah.
So it's not a turnkey solution.
Okay.
It's not a button that just your iOS app becomes a Windows app. The idea is to quickly get you over the first hurdles of development, get your code base on Windows, get it running, so that you can then take it further and really integrate it with Windows and make a great UWP experience without having to start over from scratch and without having to learn a new language.
All right, so let's get you gentlemen to talk about sort of the portions that you worked on. Let's start over here. What part of it did you work on, and how does this, it feels like sorcery of some kind. Why don't you tell us how you did it?
Great, so I've been primarily working on the Objective-C runtime and how it integrates with the compiler and our enhanced debugging support.
Okay.
So, of course, if you're going to be importing Objective-C code, you can't actually do anything with without an Objective-C runtime. So, actually, a couple months back, we pulled in a new runtime, and this runtime supports everything an Objective-C developer could be expecting, and it really contributes to the magic going on behind the scenes, which you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Now, It's that coupled with the ability to actually debug your code. We want it to be a first-class experience,
right,
where a Visual Studio developer would feel just as home working in Objective-C as they would in C or as they would in C#. So it's, I don't know, it all really comes
so
together.
So it feels like what you've done is you've essentially made a runtime for Objective-C.
Right.
And does that runtime sort of redirect calls to whatever the UWP equivalent is when you're running it, or how does that work?
After fashion. So there are some things where we've realized the platform can support an Objective-C developer using their Objective-C code, and we've implemented things in terms of that. So for example, when you make a web request, like we haven't really implemented our own web layer, we're using the one from Windows.
I see.
And we've projected all of these APIs in a familiar fashion.
That's interesting. All right, tell us about the part you worked on.
Yeah, so I work a little bit in conjunction with Dustin. I've done some of the tools development, and as Nick was mentioning, there's it's not just a button press and you get an app out, right? So there's tools to help you convert the Xcode project over to a Visual Studio solution so that you can recompile inside of Visual Studio. Once you get that, then you have the runtime. Includes the debuggers, the ability to set breakpoints and evaluate code and things like that. And then in addition to that, I'm also responsible for figuring out our middleware story for Islandwood. A lot of apps are built on iOS using various pieces of middleware in order to, so we have to bring some of those over. And then I also own some of the foundation APIs, which is sort of the core pieces of the iOS framework that lets you do some of the basic things like networking calls and work with strings and things like that.
So essentially, we are getting first-class support for Objective-C. Is this what we're talking about?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. So we have having the runtime lets you run Objective-C just like you wanted to. If you wanted to write a UWP in C#, right? There's a .NET runtime and the WinRT and all that. We have Objective-C runtime so that it acts just like it sits side by side with those, and it's a native support right on top of Windows.
And the really cool thing about that is you're working in Objective-C. You're working in a language you know. But all of a sudden, you have access to iOS APIs and Windows APIs, right? And you can mix and match those as much as you want. So you can use XAML controls right alongside your UIKit controls. You can put a XAML control inside a UIKit control, inside a XAML control.
Wow.
And it's all rendered seamlessly by the same compositor.
So it feels like okay, I'm making a Frankenstein app. Is it going to act weird, or is it just all the same goodness, and we're okay?
So so the app that you build with this is absolutely a UWP app. So even though you have the Objective-C runtime there, you have a UWP runtime as well. So the same dispatch loops and everything, they're sort of running side by side in conjunction with each other. So you kind of think of it as like one Uber runtime loop, as a concept. Right, so all those messages come through. They act appropriately for the UIKit side of things, and they also act appropriately for the XAML side of things.
That is really amazing. Go ahead.
I'd like to add, the idea is for it to feel native. Like a UIKit application is supposed to feel at home on the Universal Windows platform. It's not like an iOS application running in a box.
That's amazing. So the question now, and this is the real one, is does it actually work? And that's why we have this gentleman over here to tell us a little about his experience. Tell us about your application.
Thank you, Ted. So basically, at Algorithm, we create video music application for Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android, and now Windows.
Yeah.
Our flagship product, DJ, is a full DJ system that works on your computer and your mobile devices. We have been downloaded over 20 million times worldwide. Uh-huh. And now, after 10 years, we have been able to bring it to Windows.
And now when you're saying a DJ app, this is not just some like, hey, let's push this button and it's going to make a duck sound. I mean, that's the kind of app that I would build, right? This is an actual integrating music and video, probably a ton of other things. So it's a serious application.
That's a good question, yes, indeed. So we have a really high demand on video performance. We have also very high demands on audio, like we need low latency on the audio, high decoding, everything working on multiple threads. So it's a very demanding app. So one thing that was great on the iOS of the iOS bridge is to enable us to use all of that very natively. Because when the DJ is integrating with the software, it has to feel reactive and also stable. Sure. And having that native by using iOS bridge has been wonderful.
So I understand that we have sort of a little recording of sort of your application.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. So let's get that queued up and roll it so we can get a feeling for what that looks like. So again, I want to emphasize that this isn't some button app, right? That does makes a quacking. Yep. I'm going to go home and make that one today.
You
got to do it. So are we ready with that video? All right, let's roll that. Okay, so it's not the button.
No, exactly.
Essentially, you have this really great app that you already built on iOS platform, and you're like, hey, let's put it on Windows 10. Tell me about the process that you went through to sort of move it over with this particular project.
So basically, we have been around for 10 years, and our top number one user request is to bring it to Windows. Mm-hmm. And so we have been trying to find a way to do it, and having 500,000 lines of code of Objective-C makes it a little difficult.
Sure, sure.
And we have top iOS developers also on our team, so we want to reuse that experience. So the great thing about the iOS Bridge is that it allows us to use that experience, but also to maintain a shared code base between all these platforms that it allows you to have feature parity, fix potential bugs, and it allows you faster development cycles too. So it has been a great experience. Last year, we have started to working closer with the iOS Bridge team, and it has been great just to be able to send some feature requests, seeing what things would work and what not. Our app is very high performant, so we need to have that every feature reacts instantly. So we had really a high request, a high demand on that, and the iOS Bridge team has responded wonderful to that. And now, as you saw, this using also like Windows with tablet and with the normal mouse
sure.
interface, that's a great way for a DJ to use the app. You have the mouse to be able to control your whole library and search with a keyboard, but then you can take it off and interface with the fingers, which having the Surface as a device for that in Windows, that's a great way to interact.
So I love how you're talking about all of the good stuff, but there's devs out there, right? Anytime someone tells us like, hey, it's real easy, right? Just move it to Windows. There's this iOS Bridge thing. You should be able to do it by tonight. You ready for that? I mean, we've all had managers that come and say this to us. Can you tell us a little bit about the wrinkles? And it's okay, because we want people to understand that, I mean, there's going to be some work. How much work was there? Was it less than you expected, more? Tell us about that experience, where the wrinkles are.
So basically, was when we started converting everything to Windows, it was actually less effort than what we thought it would be. I mean, I want to remember that we are an app that we need a lot of video processing and a lot of audio processing.
Of course.
And we were able to use our code in less than 2 weeks on Windows.
Less than 2 weeks.
That's impressive.
So my dumb button app would be converted in literally an afternoon.
In an hour.
In an hour.
It wasn't feature complete in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
They got it up and running on Windows, and we went from there.
We recompiled the initial prototype in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And since then, we have been adding new features, compiling more elements and more elements to get it to this version that you saw.
That's awesome. So what you're saying is that obviously, when you convert, you opened it up in Visual Studio, or I don't know what you opened it, you hit compile the first time, there was going to be a couple of issues, and then those got ironed out in 2 weeks.
Exactly. So we minimized our code base just to get something to compile and run, and then from that, we integrated like audio and more video elements, and went on from that.
You want to say?
Right. So I mentioned that one of the big pieces of this are the iOS APIs, right? If you have an iOS app, you're making use of iOS APIs. They make heavy use of Core Graphics and OpenGL.
They're really kicking the tires.
Yeah, really. And so there are a lot of those frameworks, right, on iOS that Apple has made. And we can't implement all of them
right.
on Windows, right? So there are going to be ones that are missing. And there were ones that were missing when you guys first came over to Windows. But that's why, you know, they got in touch with our team, and they really have been very active partners in guiding our development. They've submitted code, they've implemented features themselves, and we've built things for them. It's really been a great partnership for us to grow the SDK.
They even open source the whole code.
Wow.
And that has been incredibly helpful for us. Like, we had some issues, and otherwise it would have been too much communication coming forward, moving forward. But having the open source code, we could dive into the code, add missing APIs, and fix a lot of issues ourselves. It was great.
Awesome. So you've contributed code back to actually make it more feature complete.
Yeah. The day when we receive a pull request from Algorithm, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they always contribute high quality stuff, and we're happy to have them on board.
Absolutely, and probably everyone else that might be interested in doing this.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So here, you have something to say, or we have go to questions. Here come the questions. Okay. Gigi says, when are we going to see support for the Swift program? You knew this was coming.
We knew this was coming. So we talked about this in our session yesterday. Uh-huh. It was our last slide. It was the Swift question. So clearly, Apple's made it really clear that Swift is the future of iOS development. So it's really important for us, and we are going to support Swift. We announced that yesterday. We are going to support it. But Swift is still changing a lot, right? Apple just open sourced it in December, and they haven't really guaranteed any kind of resiliency yet. They haven't guaranteed ABI resiliency. So, you know, if you write a class and it's expecting to talk to one of Apple's frameworks in a certain way, they haven't guaranteed that that's not going to break. They haven't guaranteed language stability yet. All of those things are coming later this year with Swift 3.0. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at that. We are going to do Swift. But in the meantime, there's a ton of Objective-C code out there. Most apps are still written in Objective-C.
Sure.
You know, there are huge, huge code bases in Objective-C. And there are tons of Objective-C developers, you know, who know their way around the language. They've spent years developing in Objective-C, like Federico. And we really want to leverage all of that code and all of that experience to build UWP apps.
Absolutely. All right. Do you have something to say? Or, all right. So next question. Can I add C-sharp code into the project? That's a really interesting question.
Yes, actually.
You can.
Okay.
Now, because what you get out of the conversion process is a Visual Studio solution, you can add any number of other projects to it, and they'll build alongside it and get packaged into the same UWP application container. Now, with bridging technologies like CXXI or any of the, like, effectively, you know, native code bridges for C Sharp, you can integrate calls between Objective-C and C Sharp.
Interesting.
And actually use the, like use both platforms in the same application.
And that's interesting because then you'd be able to leave, say you're moving something over from Objective-C and then you make some fixes and you want to sort of leverage more interesting UWP things that are, might not be there. You'll put that in a separate project. You might even use C Sharp to do that and that's okay.
And that's one of the, you know, the nice things about WinRT is it's fairly language agnostic, right? And so now that we have Objective-C on Windows, you're compiling it down into a UWP just like any other component. So if you wanted to write a WinRT component in C++, or you wanted to write it in C#, or you wanted to write it in Objective-C, it really doesn't matter. It all gets built down into the same common runtime, and it gets packaged into the same UWP, so you can integrate those projects together.
The backend compiler that we use, C2, is the same backend compiler that's used for anything else in Visual Studio. So what you get out of that is really a truly native Windows app.
Awesome. And so that way you can have projects with Objective-C, with C#, and whatever else you want to put in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. All right, the next question is, when do you expect this project to be finalized?
To be finalized?
Well, I don't think it ever gets finalized.
Is an open source project ever finalized?
Yeah.
It's an ongoing effort. We're constantly adding new features. We put out a new release every week. We're really active on GitHub. It's really the best way to get in touch with us, file issues, get involved.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever finalized.
It's never done. Yeah. I mean, and plus you have to remember that, you know, iOS is a growing operating system as well, right? There's always going to be new features, new requests that get out there that we'll have to, in some ways, play catch up, but also you know, implement the same things, and we'll keep growing our tooling and things like that. So it's not a one-time project and then we're done.
I guess a related question might be, and we'll get to you, is, can you use this now with confidence?
So, actually,
and I think he's the best.
Very good way to say it. So basically, yeah, we are targeting to launch our version on Windows on June this year. And as they say, it's an ongoing project, but we have to make sure that at least the APIs that we are using are fully working and work very performant. And thus, we think that it's going to be awesome being able to do it in June.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, we're actually releasing stuff in June. And again, it's not a trivial application. You're drawing waves, you're interacting with sound, you're moving stuff in graphics. It seems to be a pretty intensive app.
By the way, I've used it. It's awesome. I'm a musician. I'm really excited to have it on Windows.
Nick is the DJ we have on our team.
Nice.
I personally,
domain expert here. He's like, yeah, this is good stuff.
Personally, I'm very excited to see it on Windows. And I've used it, and you know that video. That's actually what it is. You know, like you can do all of those things. You can, you know, you can scratch directly on a touch surface. You can play. You know, you can trigger samples. You can do all of it. It all works. It's amazing.
All right. So here's another question that's back down to developer level. Does this extra runtime have an impact on performance?
So not really. Actually, with the switch to libobjective-C2 recently, we killed a significant amount of the overhead.
I see.
So we have like full native Objective-C method dispatch that it calls your code like straight up. There's no interposition layer. There's no additional performance overhead.
All right, let's ask the guy that actually wrote something.
So basically, we use a lot of key value observing in our app. So every time you trigger a button or interact with a UI, there's a lot of key value observing happening in the background. Uh-huh. And that has been working incredibly good. And I mean, we're talking about performance, so latency. If you click a button, all the triggering in the background happens, and you want that to react immediately.
Well, yeah, because then your music will sound weird, right?
Exactly. But being so native, it works very, very, very good.
Love it. All right, next question. Building an iOS app for Windows will increase the size. Will it increase the size of the final build? If yes, by how much?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to increase it a little bit just because you have an extra runtime there, which is only a few megs at the moment, I think, for the actual runtime. It's also going to vary depending on how much of the iOS framework that you pull in as well, right? So we don't package everything up all together and just drop it in your app, right?
Sure.
It's very much dependent on what you use. So if you're using pieces of UIKit and pieces of Core Foundation, we'll pull those in. If you're using Core, if you're not using Core Audio and Core Animation, we're not going to pull those modules in, right?
Which is the same as it would be on iOS.
Exactly. Yeah. So you get what you're actually using. So in terms of relative to, say, an equivalent UWP, it might be slightly larger, but not to the point that, you know, you've got this massive package that you have to worry about.
But that said, the cost is amortized a little bit, because if a bunch of UWP applications ship the same framework binaries, they're unique. We're not going to download them again. We're not going to store them on disk again.
I see. So if there's a number of people that use the Windows Bridge for iOS, that runtime is just going to be there.
It's already there. Yep.
That's awesome. OK. Next question. I can't find DJ Pro in the Windows App Store. It looks like he's like, hey, let's download this right now.
So first of all, thank you very much. We're pleased that you're looking for it. It's going to be available in June.
I'm excited to.
Yeah, we're all going to be like,
so I'm waiting a little bit. Yes, exactly.
Awesome. The next one is, will the .sh shell scripts and also pod support be made available in the future? I don't even know what those are. Maybe you can explain what those are for those that aren't Objective-C
sure.
developers.
So you want to tackle the shell scripts, and I'll talk about
Cocoa actually, yeah. Okay. So shell scripts are basically like bash shell scripts, right? And it's a very common thing in iOS to have part of a custom build system where outside of Xcode, maybe you copy some resources around and move some files around to create your final package, right? So specifically to Islandwood, we don't necessarily have plans for shell scripts. Obviously, there's been some recent announcements here at Build that do enable some of that, but it's not Islandwood specific. And then as far as pod support, what they're referring to is Cocoa Pods, which is sort of a way to manage packages and dependencies within the project.
It's
very similar to NuGet. Yeah, exactly. And so that is something that we're looking into adding support for. Cocoa Pods is also open source. So that's a project that we're evaluating to be able to add support on Windows for to make it easier for iOS developers to come over. We don't have support for it right now, but it's definitely something we're evaluating.
And if you're pulling something in with Cocoa Pods, you can still pull that in on the Windows side if it's an Objective-C third-party SDK. We just don't currently have support for the manager, which is Cocoa Pods, because of our Clang compiler front-end. Yeah.
I see. So you can actually have that code in your thing, in your project, run it at work, but you just won't be able to, like,
you don't get the convenience of using the manager and the version dependencies and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Got it. All right, so the next question is, which Objective-C compiler is being used? Can it integrate with Visual C++ libraries?
So we are using Clang just as every iOS application is built with Clang and the binary is emitted with LLVM and the linker, we are using Clang, retargeted to emit an intermediate representation that C2 or the compiler backend from Visual C++ can understand.
Okay.
This means you get the full Objective-C support of Clang with the ability to interact with Visual C++ libraries.
So yes.
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 Absolutely.
Yes and yes. All right, what about versioning? How iterative is the process so as new versions of the iOS app are released? How much work is there to keep versions in UWP in lockstep? So you have an application that you release on iOS and you want to make sure that you have the UWP going in lockstep. Are there certain tricks of the trade to be able to have those go in lockstep?
So one of our experiences is that the iOS Bridge team does weekly releases and weekly updates. And so it is great to keep up with that and integrate the new release as fast as possible and send some feature or bug reports back to them. So basically keep on the loop on the updates on GitHub.
I see.
And as far as sharing code, you know, there are a number of different ways that you can do this. One thing that we have actually on our website are pre-built virtual machines, evaluation virtual machines that are loaded with Windows 10, Visual Studio, and the Bridge. And you can download them and run them in Parallels or VMware or whatever your virtualization environment of choice is. And you can run those on your Mac. So actually on your Mac, you can run Xcode and Visual Studio side by side, have one code base that's shared between them, and compile natively for Windows right alongside compiling natively for iOS.
Awesome.
So that's one way you can do it. You know, you can also split up your code using ifdefs to tell which platform you're targeting. You can also split up your code using different code design patterns. There are lots of different ways that you can go about it.
Awesome. All right, next question. And this is from Victor. Windows Bridge or Xamarin, and why? I mean, is it really a either or what is it now? I mean, what do we say to that?
So we think of the iOS Bridge as the bridge in, right? Yeah. If you are an iOS developer, you've got Objective-C code. We want to help you leverage those things to make UWP apps. Xamarin is really the bridge out, right? If you're a C-sharp developer and you want to go deploy your app on iOS, then that's the solution for you. So they're really complementary to each other. It's just providing solutions for every developer, no matter where you started.
Right. It's really about meeting developers where they're at, right? So if you're a C-sharp developer, Xamarin is obviously the right choice for you. If you're an Objective-C developer, this project is the right one for you. So it's about, you know, not forcing you to learn new skills, but use what you already have invested a lot of years and time in and being able to leverage that to build UWP and other apps with it.
That's awesome. The next question is, can I consume an Objective-C library from a UWP made in C#?
That is an excellent question. That is actually something that we are actively looking into. So the short answer is yes. The long answer is it's complicated.
I mean, right now you can like, with the native call.
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. It's just not the easiest thing to accomplish. We are working on ways to make it easier and more consumable so that typical developers don't have to go through all the headaches that we're currently trying to eliminate for them.
So, awesome. Right. All right, so the next question I have for you is, where can people go to get started? They're watching this and they're pretty excited about the stuff we're doing at Microsoft with some of the cool innovations. Like imagine now adding inking somehow to the DJ Pro, and people are excited about moving to UWP, but they have this large investment in Objective-C. Where can they go to sort of get a feel for how to get started?
So really, really the best place is GitHub. We are open source. We have been open source since last August. Like I said, we have a really strong developer community around the project that we're really proud of. So that's the best place to get started. We've got samples, we've got tutorials, we've got a quick start challenge, and you can get up and running really quickly.
That's awesome. And now here's another question. Was Candy Crush actually ported using this tool?
It was indeed. So we actually had a very different architecture when we started out with the project.
Uh-huh.
And we completely re-architected it from the ground up before we open sourced last August. So Candy Crush, you know, we showed it last year at Build. It was ported. We brought it over using the bridge. But it is a different project now. It functions differently than it did then. And we talked about that in the session yesterday as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, this is great. Where's the website that we can go to start learning about this stuff?
So go to github.com/Microsoft/WinOBJC, and that has everything that Nick was just talking about. Download the source code, download samples, everything to get started.
And see, the thing I like about this is we didn't just show up and we're like, hey, you know, flowers are everywhere, you can do this and that. We actually brought someone that has actually done it, and we're pretty excited. So let's end with you. Tell us about this application that you built, what it's for. Let's get a plug for what you've done.
So thank you. So basically, yes, our mission has always to be able to bring DJ to the users, to the masses. Being able to do a low entry level for the user to be able to DJ, because previously it was very expensive. So now we have been on the Mac, we have been on iOS, on Android, and being able to reuse our code to come over to Windows, it's awesome.
I love it. Thanks so much. Again, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for watching, and we are going to see you on the flip side. All right, take care.